Hi everyone, I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks. Welcome everyone to another episode of the podcast. Today we're still in Final Fantasy XII. We'll be talking about setups, comps, equipment, all those fun things. We're going to start it right on off with a good topic of if you are giving one composition for the party, right? So you're doing 100% run, you got three people, that's all you're using, three of the characters. Of course, each one gets two jobs, you know, for each character. Basically, what are you going to choose, right? For the whole game, 100% run. So Alex, in ways of kind of like the tank role, because let's be real, you know, if you're only having three characters, if you're going for it all, you kind of need to have these specified roles for the most part. What are you going to roll with?
I mean, for me, it's probably going to be Fine Battle Mage Shikari for me. I'd say those would be two jobs for at least one character, maybe like Osh or somebody like that. But, you know, it's so tough to do this kind of thing because every single job, there's always trade-offs. And so you're kind of trying to get a mix of jobs that have complementary strengths. But it's just, especially if you're only going with just one party and you've got to choose your job specifically off of that, it's so hard to choose. But yeah, for me, my setup, it'd probably be the Shikari just because he's got the most HP. And then, at least time Battle Mage, you get heavy armor with that. But what about you? What would be your tank character?
Yeah, my tank. So, in the past, I usually went with swords. And so, it's kind of the knight. The knight, and then I decided to pair time Battle Mage with it. And the reason being for that is time Battle Mage is... It's actually pretty heavy hitting if you roll with just that role. Obviously I wouldn't be using the crossbow. I'd be using the, you know, sword and shield, of course. Using the heavy armor. I was thinking about maybe Genji armor. I've never actually really used Genji armor, to be honest. And so I might go with that, but also just having the Germanus boots on. I don't know if a lot of people use those. It's kind of more an end game item anyways, but those are fantastic. And the reason being is that they give a lot of speed, so that's good, but also they give a lot of vitality. And don't know if any of you all know this, but vitality is great too. It prolongs status effects on your character, which, you know, the knight also has that license for it. And so when you kind of pair those up, you know, it's just things are lasting longer on it. The only one that I really even care about lasting longer is Lure. Because we've all been in that situation where you're in a freaking tough fight, Lure runs out, and it's sitting there casting, miss.
Over and over again.
Miss. Meanwhile, like, you know, wherever you're fighting is going wild on all your other characters, killing them off. It's like, oh my god, just freaking have Lure on. And so...
Exactly.
That's kind of what I like. Yeah.
That's an interesting point, though. The Germanus boots, I saw that earlier, too. I'm not sure if I've ever used that accessory before, but... It's also interesting to note about the vitality, because one of the things I read about that as well is that the variability of axes and hammer damage also depends on high vitality as well. So,
and bombs.
Yeah, it's an interesting accessory for sure.
It is. And then just, I'm not a min-maxer. I'm not like a person that goes all in. But if, you know, if I was going to get incredibly super serious with it... the person I would choose for that tank role would be Vaughn, because he does, and this is based off level 99 stats, he does have tied for the highest strength with Bosch, but on the other hand, he also has the highest vitality as well. So it's kind of just elevating those two main stats with strength and vitality. But then also the good thing about him is he does have decent magic in the end as well, so kind of use him as a support healer as well. There are great healing spells and knights, you know, and then of course a little bit of buffer with some of those time spells. And so that's kind of the tank. What about Let's go with the healer class, because I mean, again, you kind of need a healer for sure. So what did
kind of do? Yeah, in this game,
what are you rolling with?
I'm going with red battle mage and white mage. And
okay.
To be honest, I'd probably select Vanilla for that. She has a pretty high base magic stat, so she's pretty good for that role. And I mean, there's just a lot of benefits to it too. I like the fact that with white mage, you get all of the healing.
Yep.
You also get a couple of good green magic spells in there, like Drain, Reverse. Another nice thing with White Mage, you get the Rod of Faith, which is also super useful. And with Red Battle Mage, you get a couple of, you get Death, Thundaga, Blizzaga, Fireaga. A lot of really good stuff. So I'd probably go Pinello with that. How about you?
Yeah, obviously it has to be White Mage, right? I mean, you have to. You got to go White Mage. But I paired it with Black Mage because I kind of, I figured might as well toss in healing and damaging spells. Just because obviously that magic stat is going to be elevated, so you might as well take advantage of it. And so, obviously, rolling with the Mystic Armor. I haven't really thought about the accessories. We're going to kind of talk about some possible interesting ones here in a moment later in the show, but I don't know. There's plenty of them. There's the one that, makes you cast spells with Gil rather than MP, and all the different stuff. So, and then of course ones that just boost your magic power and all that, but definitely rolling with staves or rods, either one. That's the great thing about those is it's got variability. Some staves boost certain element type damages, rods obviously give you really good magic increases, like you talk about Rod of Faith as well. And so those are really good. Now, here's the problem, though, in that I'm not sure what's going to happen with them. We're going to talk about positioning as well in a little bit. But obviously, if the healer is using those two weapons, they're melee weapons. So I'm hoping that I don't even think I'm going to have, an attack gambit. I don't think I will because I do not need that person up close, right? So I'm hoping with casting spells that they'll stay back. I haven't actually really watched my characters when they're casting spells. So hopefully they will stay back. I might just have to control the person. But regardless, you got the Black Mage. So, I mean, obviously you got all the heavy hitter spells. Scathe, Scourge. Got all the magic. Between those two, with that two-drop combo, White Mage and Black Mage, you actually have the max amount of the magic power licenses. So that's nice. It also actually gives a pretty good health buff as well. And so it's got a lot of great stuff. I like it. And then you mentioned Pinello. Pinello and Ashe are kind of like, they're kind of like the magic users. Yep. Pretty much all it is Ashe has a little bit more health and magic power. Pinello has more MP or mana rather. And so it really, that's kind of just the trade-offs. And I mean, here's the thing too with the characters. They're all such kind of smaller differences. It really kind of doesn't make a huge difference. I know people are probably pulling their hair out right now hearing me say that, but come on, it doesn't. But if you kind of just want to maximize, probably Ashe or Pinello for those. So
that's interesting. I mean, that's like a pure mage setup, and I can confirm. So I mean, when you set up those magic gambits, they do pretty much get away, but it is also nice to kind of control them and get them away from there, because with white mage, they do have some health. I think you could unlock a lot of those through the quickenings and summon licenses. And so, I mean, for my mage, well, sort of mage, I mean, I've got my white mage, red battle mage, it's pretty much healing and support. I kind of like the black mage monk setup for my third character.
Okay.
And, with this, you get the strong magic. Of course, flare, scathe. Light armor and mystic armor. I think there might be some heavy armor ones on there, like with Black Mage.
Yeah, there's a couple, I think.
Yeah, that you could unlock through quickenings or summons. Monk has crazy HP licenses. I think
it does.
It's got 11 of them or something like that, so it's pretty much got that covered. And the other thing that's really cool about Monk that I always forget about, did a little bit of research on this, was through summons and quickenings as well, you can get access to some crazy white magic like Bravery, Kiraja, Proteka, Shelga. So just really, really strong jaw
Right.
class.
Yeah, and kind of just also some tips for that to anyone listening is, it usually and well and again, I keep saying we'll get to a lot of we'll get to a lot of stuff in a moment, but it's nice to split the responsibility of healing and buffing among at least two of your characters, because otherwise, the one that's doing it, if you just had one person doing it, that's all they're going to be doing is just kind of circling around. They're never going to be able to kind of help out with damage or might get bottlenecked and not be able to heal, and so that's great. I mean, yeah, because the monk does have a lot of those higher level white magics. And so that's good. And so my third one, I'm kind of taking it, I got my tank and my healer. They're both kind of very support-ish. Obviously, they can deal out some damage when I need it, but I kind of took it a different route with the third character where it is just going to be solely 100% damage. That's all they're doing. And I'm making that the Shikari and Foebreaker. And the reason for that is, obviously you have access to heavy armor, Genji gloves, and ninja swords. And so that's the thing with the Shikari is you actually don't have access to Genji gear. And so you kind of need to pair it with something that does. And the ones that do are Knight, which is pretty good. I mean, obviously you get all this stuff with the Knight. And the what is it? The Bushi. And it's like, you don't need that though, because that one's all about kind of magic power and stuff, because you got the katanas. And so Foebreaker it was, which is great though, because that gives you a lot of other good stuff. You get all the ranged techniques, so if you need to, do damage to flyers, you're good to go. And then also you got a wide variety of weapons to use as well to kind of change out for the situation. Obviously, ninja swords don't come in until a while, so it's going to be either daggers or hammers. And that's just nice too, because then you have two people with shields who are up close. And so in those moments where, the enemies do start going wild and hitting people, they're going to be good as well. And I chose Balthier for it. It was kind of hard to go with. Obviously, Bosch is another good one for physical damage, but the problem is Bosch's strength is tied for most with Vaughn, but all the rest of his stats kind of suck. And granted, again, we're talking, minor differences in the grand scheme of things. Three vitality when you're in the 50s. Yeah, not that big of a deal. But he does have the lowest for mostly everything else. And
Well,
so I
and you can
went.
also augment that with accessories and things too, but I mean,
Exactly.
good point.
Exactly. But if we're just looking like just on paper pencil, raw stats, he's kind of towards Balthier on the other hand. He's kind of average. He's pretty good at most things. He's got decent speed. And so that's the other thing too. I tried to factor in what does the weapon need to do damage. And of course, with ninja swords, it's strength and speed. And so that's what I'll probably try to be going for. I'll have to see with Genji gloves. Alex and I were just talking about this a little earlier. Like I don't know if they nerfed combos in Zodiac Age or what, but I have had Genji gloves on Ashe using a katana, and she just never freaking combos anyway. And I
I'm
just
just
don't
really
know why.
surprised about that.
I,
Yeah,
maybe
that is
I'm
really
just,
surprising to me.
man, maybe I'm just getting screwed with the randomness, but
Maybe just unlucky. Yeah, but I
yeah.
mean, still, you would think, that should be a really nice combo, especially late game though, Genji gloves, and then the access to pretty much the strongest ninja swords, like
Right.
the Yagyu Dark Blade and all that kind of stuff. So on Yasmant, that's a pretty nice setup right there.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's for the most part our sets that we'd roll with. I just started a new game yesterday, and I'm doing it. So I'm rolling with this setup. I'm trying to stay to it to a T, and so I'm gonna see how it goes. Because just an update on my other one. It's been very fun. But the complete randomness of switching in the characters, the complete randomness I chose on purpose for jobs, yeah, it's starting to show through on these harder enemies now at the end game, and it is becoming very frustrating. And so, it's been a lot of fun, but I think I'm starting to hit the wall of it's like, yeah, you probably need to do something else, and so.
Well, at least you were able to beat Dizma. That's actually quite an accomplishment, to be
Dude,
fair.
that was yeah, not fun. We're gonna be talking about Rare Game and Hunts on the next episode, but yeah, that was, just a heads. I game overed multiple times on that fella. But we're gonna move into our bold move segment. We did this last time. We got another one coming at you again, and so let's hop to it. Alex, go ahead and start us off. Well, actually, for those who aren't familiar, our bold move is just we're just picking one situation or line or action or whatever that any character over all the Final Fantasies did that we're like, that was a bold move. So, Alex, go ahead and start us off.
All right. Well, I mean, since we're already on the topic of Final Fantasy XII and I've been playing through on my game, it's just a really obvious scene is when Vaughn all of a sudden decides to ask Fran how old she is. This was, after basically Fran had said that she had said something 50 years ago or something like that. So, she looks super young and all that stuff, and he's just like, "How old are you?" And everybody was all pissed at him, and Pinello's just like, "Please try to grow up," and
Please
all that
try to
stuff.
grow.
So, just a classic scene.
It is quite awkward, and it was quite bold of him to ask Fran how old you are.
Definitely.
Well, my bold move is going to Lulu this time for her choice of outfit on a tropical island. It's a black dress that has a bunch of leather all over, and it's like, lady, do you not realize it's like 90 degrees out here? I mean, like, that's a bold move right there.
Yeah,
Bold
it's like
choice.
mostly belts or something like that. It's a really interesting dress.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That was my bold move, Lulu. But
Very
that's what we
nice.
got. So that's this week's bold move, and we'll keep going here. So we have some fun and funny comps next to try out. The first one that I kind of selected it to see how it would go would be if everyone was using scales, right? So they would also obviously have to be doing magic or something to actually do damage. But I don't know. I thought like maybe set everyone up with a ally any attack gambit, and so they'd go around in. Now here's the other thought though, I just thought of, because scales have ridiculous amounts of evasion, and you can use a shield on top of that. So you can have a ridiculous. I don't even know if they'd be able to hit each other, like, but to kind of sprinkle that in with some magic against enemies, I don't know. It would probably be just an absolute nightmare, but I think it would be still pretty funny to see all three party members just going to each other and hitting.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and I was gonna say with that too, I mean, you'd have to use magic or something because, yeah, I mean, imagine trying to kill some enemies just using scales. You'd be putting protect on them or shell or something, but you're
Bubble
doing like,
bravery.
50, right, 50 damage or whatever.
Yeah.
That is a really funny one. I always think it would be pretty funny just all archers or all machinists, so you
Yeah.
just have a complete ranged crew. You just got like pretty much three people just firing arrows or
That would
shooting
be
them with
cool.
guns and stuff like that'd be hilarious.
And I can attest, no, I didn't have all three of the same ones, but like with that playthrough I was just doing, yeah, no, when I had the crossbow, the gun, and the bomb going, it's pretty fun because kind of like we talked about last show was the status effects, they start actually stacking up
Yeah.
and it's pretty cool. But I think all archers would be very interesting because I think Alex and I are agreeance on this that archer job is the worst. Like, bows
I just
just
hate it.
suck,
I
it's
really
so.
just hate it. I mean, all of the good bows are so hard to get,
Yeah.
at the end of the game, like Artemis bow and Sagittarius and all that stuff.
Right. Yeah, and
And they just have
so
horrible abilities, so
well,
yeah.
yeah, that's what I was gonna say, and they don't have there's like nothing in that job board. There's like you got some techniques and stuff like that, that's it.
Yes,
And
a lot of
so
techniques.
yeah. So my other one I thought about. Now this would go if, if they were all hitting combos, but I was like just all three Shikari with ninja swords, like just sitting there like samurai style running into battle, just hitting people like crazy. It'd be cool
Oh,
if they all started comboing at the same time, you got Fran, huh, you know, and it's just, I think that'd be pretty sweet.
And the ninja sword sound effect, chink.
Yeah, all three of them all at once doing that.
I will say, you probably have a problem against the undead, though. You're going to have to use, like, items or something on them, because with the ninja swords that have dark element,
well,
it's going to be healing constantly.
So here's the thing, though, with that, is that in Zodiac Age, they changed it. The only one to have dark element now is the sure. Yagyu Darkblade. That's it.
It was an early one, though.
No, well, so originally they all used to have the dark element. Now only the Darkblade does. They removed it on all the other ones. Yeah. What else you got?
All barehanded monks with the amber armlet equipped just for kicks, you know. That would just be hilarious. I think I've tried, you know, one character before with the barehanded license and then amber armlet. And dude, I was so disappointed.
It is.
It just did not do as much damage as I thought it was going to do.
No, because we talked about, you know, when you think of Monk, you're thinking back to Final Fantasy Tactics, which we will eventually get to. Absolutely. And it's like, it is nowhere near that. And it's interesting, though, because, you know, it's like Square Enix made an effort to try to get you to use barehanded because there is the Amber Armlet. And there is that one license that boosts the the barehanded damage, but it's like they kind of like started it and then the person like that was doing it quit or something, and they're like, oh, we'll just roll with what we got, I guess. It's like it seems half finished.
Yeah, I just love the picture though, the idea that, you know, you get Fran, Pinello, and Ash all like barehanded killing a T-Rex or something.
Yeah, just going in on it. Yeah. Fight Club. Yeah. Well, and so on the kind of comps, now we're like, okay, so some favorite equipment to use, regardless if it's always viable or, you know, whether or not it's always that good in general. And so I kind of put down like katanas and poles because I just think they're solid, you know, and I talked about ninja swords. Ninja swords are supposed to have a better combo. Well, the best combo, right? Again, I guess it has had bad luck. But katanas and poles, though, they're solid. They get pretty good combos, and they're not going to get crazy ones. I mean, they very rarely get crazy ones. But they substantially do a lot of damage, which is why I'm trying to not use them in the very beginning of Zodiac Age, because you can. It's available. Because they're just, man, they're too overpowered at that, you know, beginning level. But
they are pretty strong.
I love them, and I also think they look really cool, too. I think the poles are one of my favorite-looking weapons in the game.
Oh, man. I mean, I just got the whale whisker. It's awesome.
Yeah, that thing looks sweet.
Awesome,
it does.
Weapon. Yeah, I mean, for me, I gotta say the Night Swords. I just love them so much in this game. Not even, like, the really powerful ones. Those are sick and everything, but even just the early ones, like, I love it when you very first get Claymore, you know, and they're all pretty powerful. And then, of course, you know, you add into that the occasional times where you do get a good combo. It's hilarious with those. It's like when Vossler is getting all his combos, you know. It's just... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy. Nah, man, that's actually something I forgot to mention when I was talking about my tank earlier, was just swords. Swords are just like the most reliable weapon in the game.
Yeah.
They really do good. Above average damage, and it's incredibly consistent. And so,
well, and you get to use a shield with that as well. I mean, there are other weapons, but a lot of these that we mentioned, katanas, I don't think you can, right? Poles, you definitely can.
No. Yeah.
And night sword, you definitely can't. So...
No, and, you know, in some of the stats effects on some of those swords is amazing. Like KO, you know, on some of
Death
the...
Deathbringer.
Death, like, it's crazy. And so, it's good. We also have down some axes and hammers, and, you know, bombs can kind of maybe go into that. But axes and hammers, it is. It's an interesting thing to use just because, man, they can sometimes be the worst thing in the world. Where they are doing nothing over and over. And then all of a sudden, boom, here comes out like a 500, you know, when you're first using them. And it's like, what?
I know, seriously. I mean, I think I was recently using the Francisca, on Ash, and you know, she'll be doing like, she'll maybe hit sometimes for like 500 damage, and then all of a
Yeah.
sudden she'll hit for 3,000.
Yeah, I know it's insane. Well, and
Crazy.
it seems like the damage range is always from one to, you know, whatever the upper nuke cap is for the weapon. Because I swear,
Yeah.
man, I swear, I just used I got Great Axe on Vaughn. I swear to God he hit for eight. I swear I saw that. It
That is pretty rare,
maybe it was
man.
80 or
Wow.
800, but I swear it was eight because the health didn't move, and I'm like, are
Jeez.
you kidding me, man? Like,
Oh,
come
that was
on.
so unlucky. Yeah, because I think I need to look that up too. That would be an interesting topic to cover at one point. But just the damage range and what the calculation is for the
Yeah.
damage on those weapons would be super interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just want to add in too. I mean, I agree with you on katanas and ninja blades. Just, I love it when you get like a six-hit combo with those. It's just so
Yeah.
funny, and they really do kick ass.
Dude, don't and the funny thing with combos too, isn't it hilarious when you're doing the combo and the enemy kind of walks away and they're sitting there trying to catch up with the combo, but it's never hitting anything. You know, they're like,
Yeah.
yeah, and it's like it's just hitting air and whiff, you know, because
Yeah, parry, parry.
or yeah, if they get parried and all that. Yeah, so kind of the opposite of that is the equipment, jobs, spells, whatever that you don't usually ever use. And so my top one for that is bleed. And a lot of these that we're going to be talking here, the main agreeance with Alex and myself for this is that it's because they never freaking hit. Like, they just, you got to cast them over
Yep.
and over and over. And some of these, like bleed or poison, you know, they're kind of like setup spells. Obviously, you're not going to do it when the thing's almost dead because it's kind of, you know, it's a slow ticking damage. And so it's like, rather than sitting there and just hitting it or using other damaging spells, let me try to hit bleed a few times. Oh, it finally hit. Meanwhile, it's
Right.
like already at half health, you know, by the time. And
Yeah.
it's even on some bosses, you know, it's like that. So I don't really
Yeah.
ever use bleed.
Yeah, I feel you, and I also just want to add in, we're not saying that these are completely useless spells. These are just
That's
spells and
exactly what we're
techniques
saying.
that we never use. I'm sure if you were doing a challenge run, though, you could find use for these.
Yes.
But it's just, you know, if you have at your disposal everything, you can literally just kill a lot of enemies without even having to bother with stuff like that. So
Exactly.
I mean, I'm gonna throw out their Poisona, Blindness, Stona. Those just become completely obsolete after you get Azuna. I guess up until that point, they're kind of useful,
Yeah.
but and then a
Well,
lot of techniques.
yeah.
For me, first aid and sight unseen.
Oh gosh, yeah. Techniques in general. But real quick also to hit back on the Blind of Stone, all that is, it's also Gambit space. You know what I mean? Like if you're sitting there trying to handle each status effect as they come, like it takes up so many of your gambits. It's crazy. And so Asuna, you know, I mean, it's like boom, one size fits all. But yeah, no, techniques, oh man, they now there are good ones. We do obviously you got Libra or Libra, I don't know how to really say it, whatever.
That's just so useful
You
throughout the
pretty
game.
much have to because your other option is equipping Bangle,
Yeah, no, but
which
yeah, exactly.
waste. Well, actually, there's one other one. I'm forgetting what it is, but it does have the effect and other things. It's kind of
Well,
like,
you could equip Steel Pauline's,
is that
the
the
boots
one?
that,
Well,
yeah, they're the accessory that allow you to go over
to
traps
go over
without setting those
traps.
off.
There's another one. I'll have to try to remember it, but there's another one that has the effect, but that also gives more boost. But regardless, telekinesis, same thing, real good. I'm also gonna throw in Shades of Black with that. I actually this last playthrough, I use Shades of Black more than telekinesis, and it's just fun because while you do get stupid things like Sleep Guh and Silence and stuff, sometimes you know you'll be like level 30 and they'll throw out a Scathe and it's like whoa, here we
That'll
go,
be
you know.
awesome.
And so it's kind of fun just to kind of see what you get. But obviously you got Steel and you got Poach. You gotta have those
Yeah.
and
I
you have
use
down there
steel so
charge and
much.
charge is very useful early on, especially, you know, as you're running through your magic, especially if you kinda have something, a character more along the lines like what I chose for that white and black mage, they're going to be running out of magic power all the time. And so I'm going to have to be doing charge.
Yeah. You're going to have like a self MP less than 10 charge gambit. Other ones I kind of thought too. I mean, admittedly, I haven't used these that many, but I know they're useful on certain bosses where it's a real grind. You know, maybe some like espers or optional bosses, things like that. Wither, battle, expose, and shear. Now, I don't remember exactly which ones do which, but those are all the techniques that...
Yeah.
They're all the techniques that reduce magic, strength, defense, magic defense. So those could be quite useful.
Yeah, I think expose is the defense and shears magic defense, and then the other ones do like specific things. But yeah, no, I'll use them every once in a while. I just took down Gilgamesh the other day, and I tossed out a couple exposes. The problem is I never pay too close attention to how much damage I'm doing prior and then after, just to kind of see, you know, how much of a difference it did make. But like you said, on the bosses that have millions of health or tens of millions of health, I'm going to definitely be stacking that up because, you know, there's no damage cap. And so, I mean, you might as well go for it.
And that's the thing, too. They do stack, so.
Yes.
Really useful.
Yeah, you can keep using it. And then, of course, you have just the, like, completely useless ones. First aid is terrible.
I just don't get what the point of that is. It's so useless. Yeah. It's like, in what scenario would you not have potions to use? I mean, only if you're going for like a no items type of run. And even then, it's a real struggle because it's like you're never going to get out of critical.
No. Because it never hits. And then when it does, it heals for almost nothing. And meanwhile, that person is still getting hit in the process. And so, no, that person is pretty much, like we just talked about this before the show, was Balthier. You know, he has a gambit that starts out with it already set up. And it's like, that's the first thing I do when they join the party. Boom, turn that off because that sucks. It's like, dude, you're not. I'm like, shoot him. I'm like, why is he? He's trying to sit there and do first aid over, you know, over and over and over again. Yeah. And so.
And I remember leaving that on just to see, like, I've never used first aid. I actually want to see how effective it is, how good it is. Saw it for the first time, and I think he healed for, like, 34 hit points. Yeah. Just like, seriously?
No.
How is that even... Anyways, it's just not useful.
Yeah. And we have a bunch that we're not too sure about because we haven't really tried. And kind of going back to what Alex said at the beginning of this... whole little talk is, we're not saying these things don't have a place. We're just saying that just in our experiences, it's just kind of usually more effective to just go hit the guy a couple times, you know? And so we got like Numerology, Soul Eater, Charm, Achilles, Infuse, you know, Guild Toss, 1,000 Needles. Like, I haven't really ever used them. I'll tell you right now, I've never used 1,000 Needles. And so some of these things definitely, I'm sure, are good in many situations. I just need to take the route of using them rather than just simply attacking, just to kind of see what's it look like, you know?
Yeah, with 1,000 Needles, I was just thinking, you know, maybe something with really high defense, or I wonder if it's a physical attack, if it would, if you could use it when they're using like a physical tailing, or something like that. Numerology, I've definitely used, and I just don't understand how that's useful because. It hits, it doubles the damage every time you hit, but every time you hit, it reduces the chance of hitting. So I don't see how you're ever really going to do that much damage. I mean, and a lot of the other ones too. Guild Toss has a really interesting calculation to it, something like the amount of guild that you choose to throw and then the HP of your current party.
Okay.
It's pretty interesting, but I've just never used them, like what you said.
Nah, we're going to have to test some of this stuff out, too, because I was thinking about Numerology right there. And now, do you know, right here off the top of your head, if you miss, does it reset the damage, or is it, you know, does it keep going? It does?
No, it resets, and that's why I don't understand how it's useful.
Yeah, I guess it's just you're rolling the dice, right? Because you think about, because, you know, on normal enemies, no. I mean, like you said, it doubles damage. So you're going 1, 2, 4, 8. You know, I mean, it takes a while to build up. But I was just thinking, if you're doing on something like, you know, Omega Mark 12, that's got ridiculous mounts or Yuzmat and stuff, like, if you got lucky, I guess it could potentially do a lot of damage, but I mean, still, like, you're going to have to hit, like, 15 times in a row to get going, you know, with it.
Yeah.
But just something to think about. Another one I never really use is Immobilize. It's again, just one of those where it's, like, it's... You got your tank anyways, so I guess unless you're playing all ranged or something, maybe you'd really want to start tossing out Immobilize so you could stay away from them. But,
well,
you know, I just don't
use
it.
I'll be intrigued to see, because I know that this next run that you're doing, you're going to start taking on hunts at a very low level, or, yes. I mean, relatively speaking, so.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting, because I have a feeling some of those hunts, Immobilize might be useful, but we'll see. We'll see,
especially once they hit critical. Disabled.
Yeah, just to keep them from beating up on your mages, sometimes it can be.
Or even your tank.
Other ones I really don't use too much, but of course, you know, Reflect. It's because magic, honestly, in this game, like, until you get to the very end of the game, it's just not that big of a deal to me.
It doesn't do very much.
Yeah, Float, Countdown, Balance. And I did try to set up a gambit for that just to see, you know, with balance and stuff, but honestly, it's like, again, it's just that whole thing of, while they use the time to use balance and all that kind of stuff, they're getting killed, or you know, you're wasting time and all that kind of stuff. And also oil. I know oil early on, again, if you're maybe doing a low level or a speed run type of thing, oil could be really useful. But it's just kind of annoying. You gotta put oil on them and then maybe have like a faux status oil use fire or something like that.
It would be interesting also just to kind of really do some in-depth research on this, you know, and calculations and stuff. Just to kind of see. And, you know, going back to Reflect, well, in a lot of these things, we're going to try to kind of think of very creative gambits to do. And again, it's not necessarily just to try to make these as effective as possible. I mean, of course, that is. Or I guess rather more so than physical attacks. But it's just kind of like, they're in the game, they gotta have a place, right? And Reflect's actually kind of interesting, because there is an accessory, I can't remember the name, because I can't remember of any of them, that it allows your spells to go through Reflect. And so I was just thinking, man, what if you have a party set on Reflect, your healer has that accessory, so that way they can still heal your characters. And of course, it'd be very useful against, you know, enemies that use high-level magic that does a lot. It'd just be reflected right on back, right? That's the theory, so... I don't know. And then, of course, just a lot of the time spells in general. Obviously, you got Slow and Haste. Those are huge. But I don't know. I just don't use a lot of this stuff.
I feel you with that. I mean, Slow and Haste, obviously, are so useful.
Oh, yeah.
And so easy to set up gambits for. I mean, one of my favorites is always, you know, if the enemy decides to cast Haste on themselves, counter that with Slow.
Yep. And vice versa, too. Yeah, I usually have, if a party's status equals slow, I do haste instead.
Exactly. Yeah, you can. You don't have to just do, like, you know, Chronos tier to get rid of it. You can actually counter it with a benefit, with a buff.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, you know, a lot of these, it will be fun when we get into gambit setups, because I do like to kind of experiment around with these. It's like what we've kind of, you know, said, is just that at the end of the day, strength always seems to win.
Yeah,
right? It's like, it's, you know, just physical attack, you're just killing with magic is always just the easiest way to get rid of them, rather than messing around with putting a status on them and then you have to specify, you know, what type of enemies, because obviously you don't want to be running around casting oil on every, like, wolf or huntress or something like that. So you want to try and set a threshold of, like, maybe 2,000, 3,000, or whatever, wherever you're at in the game, HP.
Right.
It's just tricky to use.
Well, and all that to say, too, is that you only have so many gambits. So, you know, setting a lot of this stuff up, it's taking up spaces that maybe, I don't know, you might need. But we are going to transition into a new little short segment we got. I'm calling it Seed Trivia. So let's get into it. What we're doing with this is I'm going to be asking Alex some questions. Or rather, I'm going to toss out statements. Obviously, this is, you know, Final Fantasy VIII, the whole little seed, little test that you can do, right? And he's just going to tell me yes or no to it. You know, yes, that's correct. No, it's not. And at the end, we're going to see if he passes it. Some of the questions, they're not really questions. They're kind of like gimmies, you know, because, I mean, you know, when you start out with the test, they're pretty easy. And so, but don't worry, I got some what I think are going to be tough ones. And just kind of to give the overview, Alex knows way more about Final Fantasy than I do. And so that's why I'm asking the questions, because he could ask so easy ones that I would never get. So anyways, hop into it.
We'll see.
Statement one is Kina's tongue measures to 3 feet. Yes or no?
Yes.
I got no idea, so we'll give it to you.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to say yes. I mean, it seems feasible.
Seems feasible, right? All right. So in Final Fantasy VIII, now I'll give you kind of some more after this, but here's a statement. Reflect is best spirit junction. And what I mean by that is obviously Ultima is, I mean, pretty much the best everywhere. So I'm not, it's kind of like, I guess, more of the most effective slot, right? So Reflect is best spirit junction.
Yes.
Okay. Ash is 22 years old.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Snow is in love with a girl named Jackie.
New.
Jackie! Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Okay.
That doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right, right?
Is this something else?
All right, here we go. Final Fantasy 13. Espionage is a paradigm with one synergist and two saboteurs.
Ooh, that's a good one, actually. I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Let's say yes on that.
The last one, Final Fantasy 12. Pole's damage is calculated on strength plus attack rating, and it's checked against defense.
Oh, man. Oh man, you're killing me with some of these. Honestly, like, don't know a lot of the damage calculations. That sounds about right, though. I'm gonna say yes on that.
All right. Let's see. So the Kina's. You got right. That. So that's one. Reflect is actually okay. So. You got Ultima. I forget what the other one is. It's like, I mean, obviously some of them are best, but like Reflect is actually the third in line. Yeah. For spirit, and the other two are better used elsewhere, right? So yes, yeah. Reflect is. You got Ash is actually 19 years old, if you can believe
what?
It. Yeah, that just sounds man. Like a 30-year-old woman in the game. Snow is not in love with the girl named Jackie. It's Sarah. Espionage is a paradigm with one synergist and two saboteurs.
Nice. Okay, so, I knew it was something close to that, although I had the sneaking suspicion it was maybe something, you know, maybe not two saboteurs.
But. Right. So you got that one's good. And then the last one, Poles. So it is actually not checked against defense. It's checked against magic defense.
What?
Yep, that's weird. Why Poles actually do more damage against, like, you know, defensive enemies, like soldiers and stuff. So, regardless, you passed it, my man. So, right. You are seed rank one is what we'll call it. So, make sure that you contact your employer and let them know that you need an extra $1,000 on your paychecks right now.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because I'll have you know, everyone, this stuff is transferable. So, Alex, what makes you think you're qualified to be in nuclear physics? Well, I don't actually have any direct relation to that, but I am a seed rank 25. Yeah. You're hired. You know what I mean? That's how it is. But that was...
I passed the first test.
Yeah. That was Seed Trivia. We're going to keep this going. And we got a little bit more left of the show. We'll end with some kind of best practices that we have. Just kind of things that we picked up in the game over the years. things that we think are maybe some of the, you know, kind of best ways of doing it. Doesn't mean that it is. So just keep that in mind. But generally, rule of thumb is there are some armors and accessories that pair best with weapon types. And we're not going to go through them all because it's crazy. But for the most part, obviously, most of the, you know, physical weapons, it's based off strength, the weapon's attack rating, and such as that. So usually heavy armor, you know, is best with that since it boosts strength. Kind of on the opposite side, you got a few weapons like the katanas and obviously rod, staff that use magic power. Actually, rod and staff, I don't know why are you hitting with those anyways. But, you know, and so mystic armor generally goes with some of that stuff. And so, I mean, there's stuff like that and obviously accessories, you know. Genji gloves is usually the smart one to go with weapons that have high combo rates and stuff like that. But
and they tend to go with each type of attacker, if you know what I mean. So, you know, the heavy armor boosts strength and also has the highest defense ratings, which makes a lot of sense because that's going to be the person that you want to put in the forefront. You know, physical attacker, they're going to be up in the face of enemies and things like that. Mystic armor is really nice because it boosts MP and magic, but its defense is really low. I think the cool thing about mystic armor that I always remember is the headpieces have the highest magic defense. So the best defense combo really is heavy armor with a mystic armor hat. Something like that, you know, to get the best of both worlds. You get the most physical defense and you get the most magic defense.
Yep. And so then, of course, you know, different pieces have different additional stats as well. And so once you start getting towards like the end game stuff, you kind of, you know, you can mix and match and kind of just weigh whatever you kind of like.
Exactly.
But something that I kind of started thinking about as I'm doing my playthrough, I just got the Mesa by doing the Bazaar Goods. I had to get Corolla Whiskers and stuff in. It's just kind of really a pain because you have to poach a lot of things. Definitely in Zodiac Age, a lot of the absolute best weapons, usually you need to do the Bazaar. You know, you need to sell a certain amount of items and all that stuff. And usually the easier way to get them is to poach because, you know, sometimes you're waiting on mono drops and we know how that can be. And so I just kind of was thinking, I was like, man, I'm having to go back and trying to kill these things and I'm just annihilating them. Yeah, I could go get weapons and all that. So just rather than having to deal with that, I'm like, try to just get a steal and poach gambit set up as soon as it's available. Just go through the game like that, because you're not going to be poaching them every time. Sometimes it's nice to get the drop loot and all that stuff. But you know, it will hit every once in a while, and you'll get it definitely kind of on the higher HP enemies. I think you'll usually get it, so if you want to, you know, turn the poach off for that. But, you know, regardless, just, you know, enemy HP less than 10%, poach. And it's simple as that, and just play as you normally would, and, you know, every once in a while you'll get a poach. And so, I don't know, I was just kind of thinking about that.
Obviously, yeah, I mean, my steel, I think it's the same steel that a lot of people probably uses because it just makes the most sense. But enemy HP equals 100% steel. And that is just so useful because, you know, you just get one quick steel in, your characters will typically get an attack in, and then, you know, he'll stop stealing.
Yep.
But he does it so fast, like, honestly, steel, it'll happen so fast that maybe they'll get it on the first time, and then they'll get another steal, and they'll just miss until your characters give them that hit. But that's the best one that I found, and honestly, dude, poach, I really haven't used that much, so, but, you know, I guess it would just be enemy HP less than 10% or something like that.
Has to be, because, I mean, the enemy HPs, they go in the greater thans, right? They go in increments of 30s, or it skips 20, right? So the other one is 30%, and that's, it's too high. So, I mean, it has to be 10%.
Right, and I mean, yeah, you definitely need to do all that kind of stuff for once we get in detail into the Bazaar, with things like Turnasol and whatnot. But
and that's the other thing, and some of them are like lower level enemy poaches, like the one, the best axe, it needs something from Thunderbugs, which those are level 20.
Charge gizzards.
Yeah, charge, and it's just like, ugh, it's not easy. So anyways, I was just like, you know, get those set up, run through the game. It'll just help you out all that much easier. Some common must-have gambits. Obviously, you got the healing ones, you got the raises, you got the, you know, you got kind of just the quality of life things. Something I would recommend too is just if you have kind of, if you think back to the very beginning when I was talking about like kind of just my soul attacker, if you kind of just have some item gambits on those people, it really helps out with the healer and other people. And I'll grant it, I know that slows down the damage, so don't have them all, but just have some common ones or even just self. So like self eye drops, mm-hmm. That's usually what I have for my exactly. attackers because, you know, that also frees up the healer to not have to just worry about status effects all the time and can focus on healing. And, you know, obviously, yeah, sure, you could, you know, position the gambits, but just it, I just found that kind of, that helps out overall by doing that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And with a purely physical attacker too, you can set up quite a few attack gambits of different types, you know what I mean? Obviously, yeah. You have like your attack party leader's target, and then right under that, your nearest visible.
Yeah.
But what I was just thinking, because for some reason, the gambits kind of mess up, and there'll be an enemy with like barely any HP left, and they'll move on to the next one. Yes. I don't know if that's a problem with the gambits I've set up, but you know, you could also put one on there that's like enemy HP less than 10% attack just to kill those.
So, yeah. So what I usually do is on whoever the tank is, I'll have, rather than closest target, I'll have lowest HP. And so, because there's always going to be a target then, you know, and all that. And so they'll focus on the lowest HP first. Because obviously, yeah, I mean, that's what you want to do, right? You want to take them out rather than leaving some critically enemies alive, just moving on to the closest one. It's like, oh my God, stay on that one, please.
You know, kill it really gets annoying.
And so, yeah, those are good ones. And, of course, gambits we'll just get way more into on the next episode as well. But character positioning. So this is a tough one just because, you know, we joked about it, like Final Fantasy 13. You know, you can't control them. And sometimes they walk into things. It's like, why did you do that? And so it's kind of like that in 12 as well. And actually, the thing that I dislike most about 12's combat system is that it kind of forces you to always control the tank, because anytime you run into a battle, even if you have decoy on, those first initial hits usually land on whoever's walking up to him first. And so if you're wanting to play the healer or a caster or maybe a ranged character, you will always, generally speaking, get hit at least once or twice before the character with lure moves in. And so that just kind of sucks, because I mean, obviously, You got to think of all the area of attack spells. You don't want all your characters to be in there all the time. You know, that's generally like the ideal setup to minimize damage, because damage is like, sometimes it's, you know, it's like, who cares? They can all get hit by a Phyra. And it's like, yeah, they can. But, you know, two ranged in one tank is usually a good setup, because usually, you know, if there's any area, the tank is getting hit, the ranged aren't. But it can always flop too, so. But character positioning is a big one. At least just kind of spread them out. But of course, they're going to just walk around and do whatever the heck they want anyways.
Yeah, exactly. And just to relate to what you're talking about there, where I'm at right now in my game, I just got through Gear of Aegon. And you know those behemoth-type enemies?
Yeah.
So I've got two physical attackers. And dude, every single time before they die, they use Ice Break.
Yeah, or Sandstorm or whatever.
Yeah, every single time. So I'm definitely with you on that. Ultimately, the best party setup, in my opinion, as far as positioning and reducing the amount of damage that goes to everybody, would be somebody using magic, which would be ranged, somebody with a ranged weapon, and just one melee attacker to keep their attention and act like a tank.
Exactly. And again, that's just, we're just speaking solely in just the taking least amount of damage as a party overall, you know, as you can. And then we were kind of talking about this earlier today because it's just kind of funny. I wouldn't really recommend having multiple characters casting the high-end spells at once. I've experienced this many times where some of those spells, the graphic just lasts so long that Like, for instance, like Skathe, you know, it's really cool looking, we love it, but it lasts forever. And so your other, say you had two characters casting Skathe, you know, one's going to go off, the other one's going to be ready, but it's just going to be sitting there flashing like, ooh, waiting my turn. You know, meanwhile, you could have been hitting, you could have been doing, you know, whatever, doing additional damage somewhere. So just kind of be mindful, I guess, of that, the high-end spells, you know, it kind of gets bottlenecked when you have multiple, because it also, it kind of factors in enemy spells as well. They're kind of in that mix. And so it just, it just saved the heartache of yelling at you. You're like, what are you doing? Like, do something.
I know what you mean. It's the animation. Yeah. Gets it every single time. Honestly, you know, if you have a physical attacker, they just kind of ignore that and just continue to attack while the animation is happening. So even though high-end spells, I mean, obviously everybody loves Skathe. It's an awesome spell. It comes in really handy against end-game bosses and espers like Zodiark. But that animation time just takes so long. And the whole time that's happening, you're getting attacked and you're, you know, you're having to heal. And
Yeah. It's all the cool things are just kind of a little frustrating at times. But that's going to do it for us on this episode. We appreciate you all staying with us. It's been fun. We got one more Final Fantasy 12 after that. We're not sure which one we're going to move on to, but episode 3, be looking out for it. We're going to be coming out with it soon. We'll go over just kind of gambits, rare games, hunts. It'll be real good to go kind of in depth on those. But again, thank you for stopping by, sticking with us. I'm Mark.
I'm Alex.
And this was Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks.